Hi, this is Mark Cuniberti. You're about to listen to another edition of our award-winning economic show entitled Money Matters. The information given on this show is obtained from a variety of public sources and is deemed accurate at time of airing but is not guaranteed. This show is pre-recorded at an earlier date, so market indices and related stock market references may not be accurate at time of airing, and we will not be taking any listener call-ins. Thanks again for listening. Now enjoy the show. Welcome to another edition of Money Matters, your economic forum on your community radio station. My name's Mark Cuniberti. Good afternoon. How's everybody? Before we begin, please remember, discussions in this show should not be construed as specific recommendations or investment advice. Always consult with your investment professional before making important investment decisions. I'm an investment advisor representative through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. The views expressed are my opinions only. They do not necessarily reflect those of Cambridge. This station and staff members are underwriters. Welcome to the 275th show entitled Fall into Fall. All shows are available on the website moneymanagementradio.com, where everything is free, our way of saying thank you for listening and supporting your community radio stations. Money Matters is about money, as money does matter, and matters money affects us all in some way or another. Whether you have a lot of it, a little of it, or none of it, it controls our economy, our country, our planet, and in some way or another controls the very way we live our lives. It's about your money or lack of it or abundance of it. It's about our lives and livelihood. In short, Money Matters is about you. So how is everybody today? Well, okay. So we'll take a look at the markets, right? Everybody wants to know what's going on with the markets. Well, we told you that these large numbers for the Dow, anyway, Dow is at 26,598. So underneath a big resistance point, a big support point underneath of 26,598, there are many minor ones that people look at. But underneath the major one is 26,000. Right, because we're over it at 26,598. A resistance level, resistance would be above us. That would be 27,000. It's major resistance points. Now, technocrats always say that there are other minor and major resistance points. And one of those that I'd mentioned on this show, the last show that we did, is that the Dow high was 26,616. And that is the previous high of any usually index is considered by some to be a resistance point. And sometimes on resistance points, the markets have to punch through and bounce around these resistance points a few times before then changing direction in whatever direction they're going to go. So 26,616, I believe the 26,616 was our high, previous high, except for about a week and a half ago. It went into 26,700. So the fact that it's bouncing right under a 26,616 again at 26,598, in my opinion, does not really concern me a lot. You know, this market has gone straight up almost since the election, presidential election of November 16. We went from a 17,000 and change all the way to 26,007 something, what it hit about a week and a half ago. So usually these things don't blow through these previous highs or these resistance points, these main resistance points, and just blow right through it. They can. Anything can happen in the markets. I mean, you know, there's no prognostication that's 100% accurate or reliable. But the fact that it's bouncing around this 26,616, now it's 26,598, to me does not really concern me a lot. I mean, we do have a pretty good sell-off. It was down 300 and something points today. And by the way, today is October 4th, 2018, year of our Lord, 12:13 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And so you may be hearing the show at a different date or time, so the indices that I may be quoting today may not be accurate. But my opinions usually stay the same. All the way back to 2005, you could pick up shows and listen to what I had to say. So what, been 14, 13 years or so? Done a lot on this show, a lot of interviews. NBC was out here one day back in 09 filming the show, and had all sorts of politicians and all sorts of people on here. Yeah, this major resistance point, 2,616, the previous high. We are right under it. I don't, in my opinion, see anything really concerning to me about this correction today. There was some fairly good news on factory production today, and so you never know, right? This thing could drop all the way to 10 grand. Or it could run to 30. You know, I've always been, since the November elections, been pretty positive this market. I've said so on the air. Regulators have allowed me to say that as an opinion only. Do not do any investing or following the markets based on that opinion, of course. And so Dow down 229. It was down 307 or 310 today. I'm not quite sure what it did all day. And so we'll see what happens. I would imagine that the Kavanaugh hearings, this presidential Washington Trump, fiasco that's going on up there, probably making people a little bit nervous. When things are nervous, people get nervous. The markets could sell off, and so we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens for sure. General Electric is up today, 12 cents. I just sent that to a buddy of mine. I said, "Oh, the market sell off today looks pretty broad based, but General Electric's up 12 cents at 12.60." So there's a stock that was part of the Dow 30 and was removed. And General Electric, boy, I don't know, been hammered pretty good in the last couple of years. It's definitely not followed the market. So, 275, fall into fall. What does that mean? Well, fall can be, not exclusively or not dependably, can be a time when markets sell off. You know, the NASDAQ crash actually happened in March, in the spring. Remember that, when NASDAQ was all high and got hammered. But a lot of these falls can happen in the fall. And so definitely got my ears on watching all the little arrows and things that happen on my screens that most people wouldn't follow. I follow a lot of these. There are things that concern me. You know, there are certain things that, my opinion, are concerning to me. Currency problems are a concern to me. A big one, one of my majors, when I see a currency, even if it was like a little Turkish lira a month and a half ago or so that got upset, that was concerning to me. Because, I am of the opinion that currency problems can spread. It can start in a small country, Greece or whatever, and it can spread to larger countries and spread over to the bond market, the debt markets. And so that concerns me more than what I'm seeing right now. But apparently I haven't seen anything major in the news about the Turkish lira lately. Had saw something a couple of weeks ago about Italy having a budget problem. That is concerning to me. And so, if you are concerned about the market, it's always a good idea to put in some stops. Stops are basically saying when your stocks or portfolio drops a certain percent, you start liquidating into cash. And so that's always a good idea. If you have gains, you want to preserve those. If you have losses, you want to try to minimize those. What I do with my personal accounts, a little bit different than what I do for clients. I'm a lot more conservative with clients than I am with my own account. And so, there you go. So I've got a whole bunch of stuff that are both financial and non-financial today. And, I'm a big baseball fan. I'm a high school varsity head coach for baseball down the hill in a school in Auburn. And so I'm big about baseball. I talk about baseball a lot. Talk about small businesses. And so I think I'll start today. We won't talk about baseball right just yet, but we'll talk about business. I've talked about that a lot. There's a motivational speaker in town called Machen McDonald. And Machen McDonald and I are discussing a small business seminar, so you have to stay tuned for that. We'll announce that at some point, just if people want to come in and talk about small business. But in business, good ideas executed badly and bad ideas executed superbly can usually have the same outcome, and that outcome is failure, right? Business failures. It takes a series of good decisions followed by the proper execution of those decisions and ideas for a business to be successful. Yeah, there's a lot of things that can trip you up. One only has to look at the statistics of the number of failed businesses versus the number of new businesses attempted to see the dire results. The stats aren't good on starting a new business. 90% of new businesses never see the dawn of the third year. and many closed their doors before that. Also, if you're running a business and it's running a loss for a couple of years, you know, the IRS starts to frown upon you, you know, taking deductions on a business that continues to lose money. Now, we don't give tax advice on this show. I'm not allowed to. But I can tell you that the IRS does frown on continuing writing losses off because they don't want tax dodgers. They don't want people to start a fictitious business or a business that they know is not going to lose any money. Knows it's not going to make any money, and you write their losses off through that. So after a couple of years, your accountant probably say, hey, you know, you either got a blank or get off the pot. You've either got to turn a profit or your losses are not going to be allowed any further. They say that accidents occur because of a series of unfortunate events. Accidents occur because of a series of unfortunate events. Let's say, you know, it's foggy and you're tired and your windshield wiper's not working so well and you rear-end somebody. You know, that was a series of events. Now, that's not to say accidents can't happen on the series of one particular situation or one particular event, but normally there's a multiple things that happen to cause a problem. You see that in airline crashes and things. There are multiple problems that arise that culminate in a catastrophe or cataclysmic event. So they say accidents occur because of a series of unfortunate events, and I say that businesses fail because of a series of unfortunate events. And the same, as I say, holds true for business endeavors, whether they be a specific business product, you make a widget, or an idea, or an entire enterprise. You know, an entire enterprise. I just posted a quote on social media that was talking about stock investing. And Peter Lynch, a very famous stock investor, said, you know, to look at businesses that any idiot can run, because eventually any idiot will end up running it. So I like that idea. You know, he was mentioning in that particular article that he doesn't like a business that's just dependent on one guy. So I won't name any names, but you can probably think of businesses that are all about one guy. You know, the CEO is such and such. That particular Peter Lynch reference was saying, you know, he doesn't really go after businesses that circle around one guy. Obviously, you get hit by a bus or something like that. But I love that quote, you know, buy businesses or look at businesses that any idiot can run, because eventually any idiot will be running it. So anyway, business failures don't have to be, in particular, don't have to be a series of bad decisions, but they can be one bad decision in a long line of many decisions. So in particular business, it can be a series of unfortunate events, but it also can be one bad one. Just one decision can sink the business. One bad decision in the middle of a dozen correct ones can still sink a good idea, a good product, or a good business. This is why it's tantamount. It's very, very important to carefully scrutinize each step along the way, no matter how small the step is when opening or operating a business, especially starting one, because starting one is extremely hard. Keeping in mind that there are very few new ideas in the world of business, right? Most people that start a business are not starting anything that's a brand new idea. There are some. But most businesses are just offshoots of a previous concept, like open up another. You know, I've been noticing, at least in our county here, there's a lot of breweries opening up. I saw one or two breweries open up. Saw a sign last night downtown our town here that it was another brewery that was opening up. You know, brewery and snacks and fried foods and everything like that. So that's just an offshoot of a previous concept. But you begin to realize that because there are very few new ideas in the world, something that's absolutely revolutionary, you begin to realize that in order for a business idea or entity to be successful, if you have developed an offshoot of a previous concept, your customers, the ones that will be giving you business, will have to be stolen from somebody else's business, right? Unless you come out with truly something monumental, you have a monopoly on a great idea, the customers that you have are going to have to be stolen from somebody else. It sounds harsh, but it's true. Unless you have the rare and truly innovative idea or product that has never been seen before, your potential customers will only be coming to you because they are not going to whoever they previously went to. So you are going to be stealing other people's customers. Since people don't like to change, really, people don't like to change. They use a complete, you know, a particular dry cleaner. They're creatures of habit. You know, they like to go to the same saw shop. This is a chainsaw shop, and they like to go to the same auto mechanic. They don't like to change unless they run into a problem, unless they're enticed to change by some better offer or some better product or some better service. People don't like to change. We call them creatures of habit. Convincing them to try your business or product when they probably have somewhere else they are spending their hard-earned money on is difficult. It's a difficult task. How do I steal other people's customers? This means you do have a variety of tasks in front of you, and some of them are hard and take a lot of thought. You have to be, you have to make people aware, first of all, is whatever it is you're selling. They have to know that you're there, right? And that means there's a multitude of advertising decisions to be made, right? You have to make a multitude of decisions to get the word out there. Fall down here, misstep here, trip up on a hurdle in advertising, and your potential customers will never know you or your idea ever existed. They can't come to your store if they don't know you're there. Misprice your wares. In other words, don't hit the correct price. We call it price point. And although you may have successfully gotten their attention through a successful advertising campaign, your advertising might be good, and they come into the store and they find out your products are too expensive. So fall down here on pricing, and your potential customers will come into the store, and you'll lose them when they compare your price. So all that advertising dollars, they come in, they turn around, and they walk back out. If you happen to vault the advertising and price hurdles successfully, you can fall down in quality. In other words, I got the people in here through advertising, and they like it because of the price, but the quality isn't good. Then you're going to have a ton of returns and warranty costs, and you'll never get customers to return a second time. Both of these events, customers not returning or really large warranty costs or replacing bad product or doing a service over again, both of those will eventually mean the slow death in the form of a business failure, something you're desperately trying to avoid, right? Navigate all these waters successfully, and there's still all sorts of landmines waiting to blow your business to hell and back. There's just so many things. Cash flow. Oh, man, cash flow is a huge obstacle to survival in a business. And this particular hook snags many novice business owners. There's an old saying in business, cash flow kills. Realize that when you buy something, you're going to have to pay for it. And when you put it out in your store, it's going to sit for a while before somebody pays you. And if you're going on a credit card, you're going to lose a couple of points there, and you're also going to have to wait to get paid. Possibly. So you can navigate all these waters and still fall down on cash flow. Mismanagement, it's another trip, you know, it's another obstacle for you, mismanagement. At the operational level, you have the wrong location, or you have hiring issues, or you have regulatory mishaps, you know, with the city or the county. Bad hire, can't hire somebody that's not very good. Any sort of mismanagement of the operation of the business can all cause a bleed out, an eventual keel over what once may have been a great idea. You may have had a great idea, a product that still may fail because you fell down, you got caught in one of the other hurdles. The truth is it's very, very hard to start, operate, and survive in a successful business. It's hard. And then eventually constantly turn a profit to keep the doors open, right? You won't break even or constantly turn a loss. The obstacles to opening and running a business are many. The first step in order to have the best chance of survival is take your time. Take your time developing a plan and make sure all your bases are covered as best you can. You have to look at everything before you start. That means probably doing everything in writing, make a P&L statement, a profit and loss statement, be as meticulous as possible, cover everything. What can happen if? What happens when? A good how-to book is highly recommended. And for potential new business owners, I can't say anything that's probably more highly recommended. You know, a lot of people go to their CPA on how to run a business. CPAs are great in keeping books, but they may not know how to run a business. So there are many good how-to books on how to start a business. Get one. Pay attention to it. Most of them have a workbook in it. Go through all the exercises. They'll guide you in case you miss something. And don't rush opening. Don't rush anything. Like a rushed marriage. or like anything else we rush into, there is seldom harm in having patience in anything, right? There is seldom harm in having patience. But there's a potential for a whole lot of harm for those who rush into things. So keep all those things in mind. Start with the book and, go on from there. I wish you the best of luck for those starting a business. It's an amazing endeavor. Most of the businesses in the United States, and indeed the world, are small businesses. They make the world go round. You're listening to Money Matters on your community radio station. We'll be right back with more. Tuned to KVMR FM Nevada City or your community radio station. You're tuned to your community radio station on Money Matters Economic Forum. Thanks, everybody, for joining me. Stevie Ray Vaughan, the tax man. That's another thing, taxes. You got to worry about that, too. Make a profit, they're going to tax you, right? Dow down 229. See if I get a refresh on this. There are some circuit breakers that they employ. Dow down 243. On YahooFinance.com, the headline, stock slammed on rising rate fears. Don't know if I completely agree with that, but that's Yahoo Finance's take on it today. I just think it's more of a correction, because this thing kind of gone straight up, right? So we'll see. Cryptocurrencies, yeah, I don't know. Bitcoin sitting at, I don't know. 6,600. There's a wild ride, huh? So, yeah. Anyway, some of the stocks in the news today. Just moving Advanced Micro Devices down 80 cents at 27.63. There's a stock that went from like 14 to 30 something. Back down 27.64. Bank of America $30.40, up 40 cents. GE up 12. And some other stocks that are moving today, both up and down. They're always usually stocks that move up and down. Also on CNBC, Amazon and Apple data equipment hacked by China. So there you go. Apple denies reports that China put chips in devices. Okay. And then there's on a business on MarketWatch. It says Fed Chairman Powell has cost stock market investors $1.5 billion in 2018. I guess they're referring to the gradual rate hikes that the Federal Reserve is implementing or trying to implement. And the Fed chairman is Mr. Powell. And so they're blaming everything on him, Jerome Powell. So anyway.
So one of the things that I've invested in is sending my kid to college. My oldest boy, Kyle. I just packed up my oldest son, Kyle, and spent the weekend dropping him off and getting him settled at UC Irvine, where he is now a first-year freshman. Kyle was a straight-A student in high school, athlete of the year 2018, homecoming king, and a Senate internship, participated in the Food Bank of Nevada County on the board of directors, honorary board of directors at the age of 13. Stayed there for 3 years, and beside the extracurricular activities, he was even penning a few articles for some of the newspapers around here, taken after Dad. Of my three kids, Kyle is the most dynamic as far as outgoing and what I would deem at risk. He's exploratory and inquisitive, so I would deem that he would probably be the most at risk of trying new things. I can honestly say I dreaded this day of dropping my kid off for years. And now that it's here and his room is empty, I know the pain of sending off a child into the world. Now, not that I don't know loss. I do. I lost both my older brothers when I was a teen, one by suicide and one 2 years later by a motorcycle accident. And I saw that what that did to my folks, especially my father, who never really was the same after that. So I know a dreaded loss all too well. And I also know, you know, I can't compare losing a child through death and sending one off to school. There is no comparison. One obviously is much more painful and horrendous. And I know there are parents out there who would give anything to send their child, who may have passed on, off to college in lieu of losing them forever through death. And in that thought comes at least some odd sort of comfort, knowing the dreadful alternative. I am fortunate enough to have a child to send off anywhere, when some have no children and others have lost them. And for this, I am thankful. Kyle, my son, is an amazing young adult, and at this moment in time, I do miss him terribly. And to feel so only means I have an amazing person as a son, and I love him dearly, and he knows that, but it still hurts. You know, I also know that parents have been sending their kids away and off into the world since time began, so I'm only one in a long line of parents who have experienced this, and I know the feeling will pass in time, and like many parents, I will look forward to holidays and summers when their shiny faces will again grace the family home and extra plates will be set at the table, the exact amount of plates that were there when they were young and learning their way. It's funny, you know, Kyle grew up here in Grass Valley, where I live. For those of you listening to the show, we're kind of a small little town. You know, we're in Nevada County, about 100,000 people in the county. And he went to a small private school of 300 kids and is now at a school with 36,000 students located on the outskirts of L.A., and I'm glad he is. He will now see the real world of the big city and learn so much more in school and the surrounding areas. I mean, right outside L.A., right? He was already wide-eyed and open-mouthed when we drove through Newport Beach. You ever been to Newport Beach? Man, there's some money down there. We saw a Maserati dealer, a Bugatti, a Ferrari, a McLaren auto dealership, all within a quarter mile of each other. And the lousy dealership at the end of the road was the Mercedes dealership compared to all those other ones. Before then, Kyle could only see these cars in photos. Now we saw hundreds of them for real, up close, for sale, and personal. That's a real-world example of what places outside of Grass Valley hold in store for him and all those who send their sons and daughters off to college somewhere. I'm sure Kyle will probably drink too much beer some night. He wants to join a frat. Oh, gosh. He'll miss church, get a girlfriend or three, play some prank, and do something way too dangerous for his parents' liking. And I can't stop him from doing any of these things. The reality is he's 8 hours away by car, and he's his own person now. And it brings to mind the first part of the Serenity Prayer. You know that one? God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. And you know what? This is one of the things I wouldn't change if I could. His time has come to leave the nest and become his own person, and I know this has to happen. And no, I don't particularly like the feelings I'm having right now, at least some of them. They hurt. And they remind me of other losses. But that's life, and I'm glad he has arrived at his time of blossom and will now go make his mark on the world, a world which, as you know, we so desperately need adults like Kyle. And so for now, my wife and I will finish raising his younger brother and sister and send them off to college one day, and maybe it will get a little easier next time around, or maybe not. But however I feel then and now, I know it's the right feelings to have, and I thank God for blessing me with the reasons for feeling them. So, you're listening to Money Matters on your community radio station, and we'll be right back. We'll talk a little bit more about the markets. Tune to Money Matters Economic Reform on your community radio station. My name is Mark Cunaverty. Thanks for joining me today. So the general direction of the market, the Dow or the general markets, has been fairly flat of late, although today it's down. The Dow is down 251. NASDAQ hammered pretty good, down 161. It's a pretty good move there, 2%. S&P down 1%. For the most part, the Dow has kind of been stuck in a trading range, you know, 26,400, 26,700, now at 26,576. So I guess you could kind of say it's been stuck in a trading range, although, like I mentioned before when we started the show, it did blow through the high of 26,16 up 26,700. Now it's down below the previous high. With some stocks going up one day and likely down the next, it's probable that investors have seen fairly uninspiring portfolio movements, probably today, probably down. In a diversified mix and stocks of stocks and fixed income may be preferred stocks or bonds, some things that may not move as much and might pay an interest rate, a fixed interest rate, we call that fixed income. It's to be expected that sometimes your portfolio will just not go anywhere. I do see some common complaints. They say, you know, I've held this portfolio for years. It hasn't gone anywhere. So unless the stock picker or the advisor picks some individual winners, which is everybody's hope, right? Pick me something that goes up. With mixed markets can come stagnant balances. They just don't move. Investors and advisors alike strive and desire for upward movement, obviously. But that could be a difficult task to accomplish, but it's not impossible. money is usually flowing out of one sector and into another, even in times of market upsets. In other words, some most stock market goes down, there are probably things going up today. GE's up 12 cents. Picking winning stocks in flat markets is possible. It just takes careful observation and an astute analysis. A little bit of luck always helps. Keep in mind, the market is not actually a science, but a sociological event. Its movement is wholly dependent on the daily decisions of millions of investors in it, all acting on their belief of what will happen next. Picking stock winners yields many methodologies. None of them are foolproof. None of them are foolproof. Nobody can guarantee you they will pick stocks that go up. No one. Some advisors or some investors buy value. Buying value means you pick up beaten down securities, beaten down sectors, or beaten down industries, even beaten down geographical areas. China's been beaten down pretty good with the tariffs talks that have been going on in Washington. The problem is here, buying a beaten down sector, who's to say that a beaten down sector can't get more beaten up? Many mom-and-pop investors will also buy the story of a great company making great products. Or maybe they've heard something new is going to hit the pipeline. I've heard that one a lot. So my buddy says they're coming out with something new. Those are the ones that really make me have some serious intrepidation. Usually these types of buys, in my opinion, when you buy something that you heard would go up, don't end well. What people don't realize is the story that they're hearing is already priced into the stock. There are a variety of other methods of picking winners, or at least in the hope of picking winners, and none are foolproof. I've seen seasoned professionals get creamed, and I've seen novices make lots of money. Those kind of examples leads one to thinking picking winners has more to do with luck than skill. In actuality, however, at least in my opinion, the more in tune with what is happening in the financial world around you, the better your results may be. World events can influence markets as a whole. And an earth-shaking global event can be caused by a variety of reasons, right? A variety of reasons, right? Somebody gets assassinated or tsunami hits or whatever. But if a world event is bad enough, it can shake the world's markets to their core in mass. We call that market risk. Market risk. Market risk is your stock goes down because the market's getting hammered. This is why it's important to establish portfolio protection. Portfolio protection. The reason being, although company fundamentals or news can rise or rock individual stock prices, bad things happening on the global stage can rock everything, regardless of what a company is doing individually. Picking winners is no doubt difficult. But a winning strategy may also include protecting your money against horrific losses when world markets implode. Picking winners is no doubt difficult, but a winning strategy may also include, does include, in my opinion, protecting your money against horrific losses when the markets implode. Rather than concentrate on picking winners, although this is a noble quest and I don't discourage that, a true winning investor or a true winning advisor also pays equal amount of attention to the damage the downside can do to a portfolio. You can pick all the winners you want and make a ton of money doing so, but it won't amount to a hill of beans or a hill of money if you get wiped out in the firestorm of a downdrafting market. Whatever method you use, person or a company you may use, to manage your portfolio, to manage your funds, make sure some time is spent on a strategy of protecting what you have. And that means a variety of hedges and exit plans should be considered, as well as looking for winning stocks. Okay, we'll be right back, sum up the show in just a second. Enjoy the music that we're about to play. My name is Mark. You're listening to Money Matters on your community radio station. Oh, we don't want to hear that again. We've heard that. There we go. Okay, we'll hear. There we go. Well, I've heard that too. Well, we'll hear it again.
Let me tell you how it will be. There's one for you. I'm the tax man.
Okay, so if anybody wants to call in and ask a question about the market, 530-265-9555, 530-265-9555, 530-265-9555, is that the number? Or 1-800? Oh, now I don't remember. Oh, gosh. That's terrible. I should know. 530-265-9555. The phone line is open if you'd like to ask me a question. So we're seeing the market now scoot upwards. It is now down 180 over the previous high of 26,647. The all-time high set about a week and a half ago at 26,007 something, if my memory serves me right. So whether we'll see a snapback or not is rather interesting. Gold is up just a tad. Gold really hasn't performed that well historically in the last, you know, I'm looking at, let's say, year-to-date, okay? So we'll go to year-to-date. We'll go to January 25th. And in 2018, gold was sitting at 120,288 an ounce. And today it is 1,130 an ounce. So what's that? 8, 9, 10%. 10%, I think. A little bit more than that from January to now. So, one of the things interesting to see is that there's a ratio between gold and silver, And I've seen the ratio between gold and silver right now is historically not at its lowest. In fact, it's very, very high. The ratio between gold and silver. And there are those that believe that the ratio will come back into play again, and then that either gold will fall or silver will rise. Again, that's just an idea. Who has to say that this ratio can't get even more out of whack? So, and also, if you want to take a little volatility out of your portfolio, if this stomach-churning rise and fall and balances is driving you crazy, or you're losing sleep, you know, they say if you lose sleep, you should always sell down a little bit. Shouldn't lose sleep over it, not over money. Anyway, it can affect your health. But in any case, the gyrations of your portfolio balances giving you some stomach churning, converting some positions that move like stocks into cash, which would be basically selling off some, will take some volatility out of the portfolio because, you know, the more cash you have, the less the portfolio will move. So that can be a strategy just to reduce volatility. Is add more cash in by selling more stocks. And so, and of course, if you're very, very optimistic about the market, then you could take whatever cash you have and buy more stocks with it. So it just depends. Cash, I always say, is a strategic decision. They say when you're investing, you're in cash, you're really not investing. Well, you are, in a way, because cash can't, for the most part, go down nominally, which means that the number on your statement, if you have all cash, can't change. The buying power can, and that would be called inflation. But the nominal numbers on your account cannot change, especially if you hold all cash, or let's say you hold $1,000 in your hand. Doesn't matter what the market does, you're still going to have $1,000 in your hand. I'm not saying what it'll buy now, tomorrow, or 10 years from now, but at least you'll still have the $1,000 in the actual account. And actually in 2009, 2008, when we saw a tremendous sell-off in stock markets, those that held cash in a bank account, I saw a lot of people that did not want to open up their statements, their stock brokerage statements during the crisis because it was just terrible balances and it would upset them. But those that had a bank savings account, they had no problem opening up a statement because it wouldn't go anywhere. And I do know people that don't own stocks. They just own all cash and just sit there. So, you know, remember, when we own stocks, we do so in the hope of making money. But in the hope of making money, you take on risk. And so the more risk you're willing to take on, the more securities you would probably hold. And that pretty much goes without saying. But, you know, somebody that's very nervous might only hold a few stocks. Or they might hold some more bonds or what have you. But in 09, 08, you know, we saw the bond market sell off. That's a little more rare to see a bond market correction. That's fairly significant. But it has happened. And so I also get a lot of questions on real estate. What's real estate going to do? Well, that's a tough one, you know. I only analyze real estate by saying if you can buy a property, a rental property, and make 8% on the rental property gross, and in my opinion, that's regarded as a decent return. That's gross now, 8% gross on a rental property. Some people want more return, and some people will live with less. But that's kind of the milestone that I use is 8% gross. Okay, so that does just about does it. It'll be back on Money Matters in 2 weeks. We'll talk more about the markets. We'll take a look at what's happening here and try to keep you abreast of what's going on in the market. Let's see if we can see where the Dow is today as we close up the show. The Dow is, I see a 1 and an 8. Let's see if I can get over there. Dow is down 183 at 26,644. And let's see if I can get you the all-time high of the Dow. I believe it's 27 something. It was, where is that? Let's see. It's happened in the last month, so I got to pull up the monthly chart. There we go. Okay. So the high, it's even higher than I thought. On October 3rd, what's the date today? That can't be right. No, that's not right. It says the high was 26,935. I don't know if that's right. I don't think I believe that. I don't think I got that high. Well, let me see what this one says. Yeah. This one says 26,828. So I'm not going to give you the official Dow high. Okay. On Yahoo Finance is telling me the high was 26,951. Yesterday or the day before. Wow. Okay, maybe I am asleep at the slow switch. So anyway, 26,951 for Yahoo Finance telling me that that is the high. And so now we're at 26,634, down 300. And so we'll see where it goes the next couple of days. MoneyManagementRadio.com is where you can all get all past shows. And it's our grata, our way of saying thank you for listening to your community radio station. Want to thank you for that. And this has been show 275, Fall into Fall. And Halloween's coming. And so support your local community radio station, your nonprofits, support your community. And that goes a long way in helping those around you and the community around you, of course. And remember that discussions in this show should not be construed as specific recommendations or investment advice. Always consult with your investment professional before making important investment decisions. I am an investment advisor representative through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. The views expressed are my opinions only or the opinions of those articles and the authors that wrote them. They do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Cambridge, its staff members, or underwriters. My name is Mark. Have a great day. God bless. Okay. Money, it's a gas.